So if you look at Michael's response, he makes a statement about if you really wanted to get better results, you'd need to check weight at non-popular tourist destinations and also popular places to get a better idea of the scope. So he has this idea of, it almost seems like either stratified or purposeful selection in some sense. He's getting at the idea that random is important, or he's getting at the idea that selection is important, but he's not quite doing just a random selection. Is that the type of statement that you were saying, Lee, that you flagged as kind of opinion?
Yeah,
or am I?
Sorry, right here. I gave him a because he does not get the idea of generalizing more than a moment in time. He did have inklings of understanding that there would be issues of bias. So, I mean, there's something in here about the idea that, yeah, they're vacationing. Any of the passengers were vacationing that would place their baggage at more weight. So he's getting at the idea that it was a vacation spot, so the baggage might be heavier. And then, he kind of goes on to, the whole idea of purposeful sample, not the idea that you need to randomly select, but you're trying to, I don't know, you could look at it two ways, and it's hard to tell what he meant here, where he was just trying to get at the idea that you need to have a non, you look at it from the idea that you need to have a non-biased sample, and in a non-biased sample you'll have, I mean, one would assume that you would end up with some non-popular travel destinations and some other places. Or do you need to go out and actually, I mean, there are sampling methods where you actually do that. Were you talking about the purposeful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, in some sense, a stratified sample is an example of that. You pick A, you're not stratifying on the outcome, which is what I think that's what a purposeful sample really is stratifying on the outcome. It's similar to the logic of stratification. So that, I think people recognize that. So here they're saying we do have this source of bias, they kind of are saying we should stratify on popularity of airport. So I guess it is correct. And I was kind of looking at it as, they missed random. And so I would usually give them an MM, where I would give them, or a pre, where I'd say, okay, they're acknowledging, they are recognizing selection, but they're not recognizing the need for a random selection.
Which is certainly a problem, but,
I noticed as I went through them that it seemed like other people were not grading them that way, or coding them that way, where people were not, it didn't seem like everyone else was having as big an issue with that as I was initially. Those were some that I started to go back through and recode and not be as strict about that. So I wouldn't, if I saw someone doing that, I would give them at most an MC. I wouldn't give them a relational because I felt like they were still missing something, but I would give them possibly an MC.
Wait, on question one or question two?
On question one, because I still think it's under sampling. That was my opinion. So I put it under relevant to selection. So I put it under question one.
Okay. That's Nick. Multiple, correct?
Yeah.
All right, but aren't we still, we're still losing that there's a valid conclusion at this time thing, which really bugs me. But you're saying in general that kind of response would be an MC?
Yeah, that was kind of the decision I made after I went back and looked at them, why I had rated some of them incorrect.
Okay. I was just interested.
Looking at what some other people had done, I decided maybe I was being a little bit too strict about that it was bugging me because in some sense it was missing some technical precision, but if you let go of technical precision and think more about what they were saying, I was willing to give them that.
What do you think the student would have done if we had said that it was at 35 pounds and they concluded that there was no problem? That would kind of throw off this whole argument.
What do you mean?
He's saying that it's valid because they're vacationing, therefore their weight, their bags are going to be heavier.
Right.
Which is more, what if we told him that it was 35 pounds and that it wasn't a problem? Would he be able to answer the question?
I think I would see more of a logical flaw with his in that case. And it would be interesting to see how they would argue. I think we had one person argue that the summer destinations would be lighter luggage, whereas I think everyone else argued that they were tourist destinations and therefore you'd have heavier luggage. So I think we just have to, in that case, look and see what they said, what else they said.
Yeah, I think I even wrote down, so why if you're traveling, he's arguing that, yeah, actually, I understand the logic more if you're vacationing, your luggage is lighter, more than I understand vacationing, your luggage is heavier. But I guess you could make the argument either way.
Yeah, I think the heavier luggage people were thinking specifically, yeah, about souvenirs. He had bought a whole bunch of extra stuff coming home that other people, businessmen, we had a lot of that, didn't we? It was like this contrast. Apparently, you only travel for tourism or business. That's it.
I think that was one of the ones I flagged, too. I was like, okay.
Yeah, everyone, it seemed like a lot of people drew this contrast about, well, tourists will have souvenirs as opposed to, say, businessmen, you know. So I think that's where the heavier came from, was all the tchotchkes you would put in your luggage then. Because it did say they were returning from the tourist destinations.
Yeah.
So yeah, in general, go ahead.
Somebody was talking about bathing suits versus parkas.
Yeah, that was the one who made the case that it could be lighter. Now, in general, it seems like when you first saw these things where they were suggesting an alternate way to select people, you saw that and you initially put that in the irrelevant, or more of the opinion part, more of the irrelevant part. I saw it and put it in relevant but marked it wrong initially, and then it seems like we've both changed our thinking on that.
Yeah, I think just basically it was the whole idea of, you know, you can get better. This is a good one to look at. Just the idea that you can get better results. Just that whole notion of better results if you do something. I don't know. That phrasing really bugged me. Cause,
mm-hmm.
You know, what do you mean by better results? I mean, I know in one sense they're saying, you know, maybe a better sample. But better results? But to me, that was more opinion, in that your results will be better. I don't know. I guess initially when I went through that, that bugged me a little bit. And that's what I meant by when I wrote my notes. I was like, maybe I was a little too harsh on the language. You know, they probably meant your sample will be better. You can trust the results a little bit more if you do a better sampling technique. Because it usually came up on the Orlando scenario. So I think initially that was what my thinking was. It was just I was having an opinion, or having an issue with sort of proffering an opinion about better conclusions, better results, or just some of the ways some of them phrased it. And when I went back, I was like, you know, I think I was just a little too picky about that. Because what they probably meant was a better sample. That makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was just going to see if Jackie or Tara had any take on this type of phrasing where students are kind of suggesting a different way to sample or
I mean, I guess I would say I don't want to say that I totally overlooked it. Cause, I mean, I guess I thought, especially in the pious sample, that that's not really a bad thing. I mean, when they're pointing out what's bad, I think it might be a lot of people's gut instinct of how you can make it better.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, especially when it comes to the biased ones, I would guess I have a tendency to kind of just, I mean, I hate to say ignore, but kind of classify it and, okay, they're saying this is biased and here's a way of doing it better.
So did you count that as a separate idea or did you count that as part of bias?
I just counted it as part of bias.
Tara, what did you do?
I gave them an MM. So I marked that part, well, not wrong per se, but the fact that he said that it was a valid conclusion and then he said you can get better results, I marked that as incorrect. And I marked the part correct that he recognized that a lot of people may be vacationing and that their baggage may be heavier because of that. I marked that part as correct and relevant.
Okay.
So I gave him an MM.
So you didn't like the better results part?
No.
Okay.
But, and I didn't like that he said it was valid at the time either, but.
Well, yeah, the at this time was very troublesome. But.
So in this, if students do this, so it seems like on some case we can make an argument for if they suggest an alternate sampling method, that's okay. Or we can make an argument for if they suggest an alternate sampling method, but it's not random, that, or, you know, or they're missing something, that should be marked as incorrect. So which way do we want to go on that in general? Specifically, so ignoring the rest of his response, just specifically kind of considering the part where he's saying this would be another way to take them. Because there were a couple students that had that kind of idea of this is how you should have sampled.
Well, first, do we want to move this all into question one? Because I had moved to question two. It seems like everybody's moving it to question one. All part of sampling issues.
I do think it's relevant to sampling, so that would be my vote.
Okay. Sarah,
agreed.
Jackie? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then, yeah, Hurla's question.
Well, I guess another question maybe, do we actually count it, or do we kind of ignore it? Because Jackie said she kind of ignored it and let it go. I think I would count it. Personally, because it seems to be a substantial part of their, for the ones that say it, it kind of seems to be a substantial part of their logic, their answer. I guess my vote would be to count.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I don't think you can ignore, especially since we're looking at sampling. I mean, that's what we're looking for, so if you're talking about sampling, I think we kind of have to. You really have to look at it.
All right, so then is it counted as correct or incorrect? I mean, I guess to some extent we will have to judge that based on the particulars of an answer. But in a case like this where he's really just saying, I guess it depends on how much you can read into it. You can read into it as it's, he's recognizing there's a bias with travel destinations, with tourist destinations, so you also need non-tourist destinations, as opposed to just thinking, well, just take a random sample. So he's kind of suggesting a stratified scheme here, but not really using that sophisticated a language or communicating that he really understands stratification. So would you mark this as correct or incorrect?
It's really bugging me that he says it's valid because they're traveling and their baggage is going to be heavier. So he's not really getting that you can't just take that and generalize it. Just his first sentence seems to me to indicate he doesn't really get that you can't generalize this.
All right.
Yeah, that was my problem with it. Because it just, if you take it all together, he does not get the idea of generalizing to a population. Like that whole idea of taking a sample and generalizing it.
Yeah.
I lost my place here.
Well, there was another student who said something about, it was, again, a biased sample, and she said it's not a valid conclusion that they would need to test less popular airports as well. So in that case, she's suggesting, you know, an alternate sampling scheme. You need to get less popular airports. Is that okay, or does that still fall short? Does that still mean to bring in an incorrect mark?
I guess to me that one I don't really feel draws the line of incorrect. The one she just talked about?
Mm-hmm.
Is that all that that student said?
No, she had a few other issues in there, but just kind of focusing in on that line about other sampling.
I guess that's where, I mean, even just talking about when you guys were saying count it, I guess I need a clear definition of, I'm not necessarily saying to ignore it, but is it counted as a separate entity in itself, or is it an explanation of bias?
I think it's a separate entity, because they're stating what is wrong, and then they're trying to state how they would fix it. I think that's two things. Because what if they had said that it's not valid because we're only taking the flight from Orlando, and then he had turned around and said, you need to go out and you need to look at every single airplane, every single passenger. I mean, he's right that he would be right that it's not valid, but he would be wrong that we need to look at every single one, so that would be a mixed answer.
That's why I think it's hard to generalize this answer, because some people use it as just an explanation, and some people do go totally overboard.
Yeah.
Okay. So we would say it would count as a separate entity. I'm trying to think of a way to articulate what Tara just said about how you had a nice way to say it, and now I can't remember the words you used, where you said, like, they're saying, oh, one part is they're saying this is what's wrong, and then the second part may be them saying this is how you fix it. That's when it could count as two, or as a second, as an independent idea.
Mm-hmm. Whereas if they only said no because they need to check more airports or they need to check more flights or something like that, that would be a single. In that case, they're really only using it to explain what they think is wrong.
Typing notes as we go, trying to. what I have so far is you, it would get included in the first question. It could count as a separate idea if, well, I guess if it is a separate idea. I guess I didn't really add any insight to that. So, for example, they have idea one as this is what's wrong, and then they have idea two as this is how you fix it. Take less popular airports as well. But then if they just say something like, this is not valid because you would need to check less popular airports also, then you would own, it would, I guess it still counts as its own idea, but it's just that's the only idea they've had. But I think it does count. It's just a question of how they, you know, what else they have there.
Well, yeah, this just goes to, you know, we've been having that issue of, you know, is it one idea, is it two ideas?
And that may depend, that probably, as much as I would like to operationalize it, it's probably going to just depend on a case-by-case basis, and that will be where the having coding buddies will be helpful to talk things out. Any other thoughts on this type of response?
Nope.
So what would we put him at then?
Well,
given our new guidelines.
He is, three of us have a U, one of us has an MM for him. I think I did change him. I think I took him from an MM to a U. Actually. Oh, I took him from a P. There's three U's and one MM.
He really wanted to get better results. If we're okay with his proposed sampling plan, was a stratified plan. Well, and you are assuming that the passengers are vacationing, which would place their baggage at more weight, making, there's that, explaining a little bit of bias. Of course, we have the whole issue of valid conclusion at this time, which is clearly not correct. But really, the question is, do we like any of this as a correct sampling we've got multiple ideas. The question is, do we like any of it is correct?
So he does. He does acknowledge a source of bias, saying that vacationing passengers would have luggage that's at a different weight. When you boil down that second sentence, that's what he's saying. So he does come up with a source of bias.
But when you combine it with the first sentence, he's totally missing
the point. Yeah, I do see what you're saying there. So I think that's why. So I'm looking now. My initial code for him was a pre. So I think I have multiple ideas for him, but I was putting them all as wrong. But then I went back and looked at it and was thinking maybe I had flagged that last sentence, if you really wanted to get better results. I had flagged that as purposeful selection, and so I had flagged that as incorrect, and then that's what I went back and revised him. And quite frankly, I'm not sure why I revised him to a U and not an MM. I started from, these were the last ones I was doing, so by then I might have been tired of coding. So that may be why he became a U and not an MM. I would think probably, I would say either MM or P.
Yeah, that's what I'm, it really depends on whether you're willing to let that second sentence be correct or not. if you're okay with his proposed sampling scheme.
I'm kind of leaning for the MM because I feel like it's at least getting that idea of bias, and so he understands that that's a problem.
I agree with you. I was going to say, I don't think I could give him a P because I think his second sentence indicates that he does have some understanding. Which is not
I really wish we
hadn't
put that little at the time thing because that just really... Like, if that wasn't in there, like, I feel much better about the MM.
Are you okay with an MM, though? Or do you... Because you currently have him as a U.
I do?
Yeah, according to my record.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, hold on.
So in some sense, an MM would be a downgrade.
Yeah, I think I had not changed that. Just because I was all over the place with this. I really had no idea because of that whole at this time.
So are you okay with an MM under the logic of he has some demonstration that bias can affect the answer, but then he misses the idea, and sometimes he misses the idea of generalizability?
Yeah. No, I'm fine with the MM. He was a really good student. I'm actually really kind of surprised that this was his response. But anyway, not that that should affect my response at all.
So I have, in my spreadsheet, I have changed Michael Flagel's responses all to an MM.
All right.
So that is interestingly a case when the minority actually went out on that.
Hey, Tara!
I've always been thinking of the light blue shading as kind of a majority rules type case, but in that case, the minority vote presented a convincing argument and swayed us. That might actually be something legitimate. At some point, we do just need to start assembling a database of codes. Now, for this particular set, we have 4 codes. We're not going to have 4 codes, I think, on any of our other data. Any of our 2 other scenarios or my luggage data. So I think we need to come up with, at some point we need to decide on what's going to be Trump.
I thought we were all going to do your luggage data just to be consistent for this question.
I think we had talked about it last time. I guess I forgot what we had decided on. Is that what everyone wants to do? Read mine too? I don't know what my... sample size.
I don't know. I think we're still just... How many are we talking?
I'm going to say... Let's see if I can find that.
Probably at least as many as we already currently have.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the probably size. It's like double what we currently have.
I have a lot of missing data. I'm trying to pull up my file now. But either way, so whether we grade my luggage data or not, we're still going to have some data sets that at most 2 of us are going to grade, and so there's no majority rule. So should we just decide that Trump is, when we have, if we have a disagreement in ratings that can't be kind of reasoned through, do we just decide that the course instructor gets the final say because they know a little bit more about the student and they know a little bit more about how the course was taught, so they might have more insight into the answer? Is everyone okay with that? Because I don't think we're going to reach 100% agreement. I don't think we have to shoot for 100% agreement, but I think we do have to state clearly this is how we decided which rating went into our database to be analyzed.
Well, just to be clear, the plan at this point was to have 2 people read, then if the two people disagree, are we going to have a, like, those go to a third person to see if we can maybe have them parse it out? I mean, that might be an idea, too.
Yeah. There may, in theory, be a case then where that third person doesn't actually help. They either add a third rating, unless we say you have to choose between these two ratings.
Well, no, we don't want to do that. I don't think we want to do that. I think that's cheating a little bit. Well, I mean, maybe we could give it a shot on Herla's luggage data, try out some sort of system and see how it goes. Because I guess I was thinking is, you know, we have two people rate. If on the ones that they disagree, have them send it to a third person in the group.
And Herla has 170.
Herla has 170. Okay.
I think that's my max. I think I'll have less than that in practice.
No, you have 170. Because we had 278 data points for the luggage question, and our spreadsheet represents 100 and... Oh, hold on. 100 and... We're starting at 3. Okay, so 2 less than that. So, 168. Based on my on the data that I compiled for the poster, anyway. You are missing the tuition question, not the luggage question.
We each want to take half and just see what happens. See how many we disagree on.
For me, to be honest, it doesn't matter how soon you want it, because I'm teaching 2 classes right now.
But I'm leaving for Daytona on Saturday, so I'll be gone for next week.
I have 4 homework assignments and 2 exams next week, so I'm pretty much worthless next week, too.
I mean, I think on Herla's schedule of what she kind of proposed is we were going to be doing most of our coding between the 9th and the 23rd.
Right.
But that was going to be the other questions, not just this one.
And we were supposed to have our call on Thursday to figure out where everything was going to be placed in boxes.
The expectations.
So you don't think...
Would it be smart to maybe take a small sample of Herla's and see how we're doing instead of looking at all of them? And that we might be able to get that done by Thursday if we have a small sample?
Maybe.
We can do that.
Herla, were you saying, I think I understand what you're saying. You're saying you don't think that you have, for each of the people who filled out the opinion survey, you don't think you have answers for them?
Yeah, I just added up what are the actual scanned-in files, and I have about 154 for the for responses for the luggage. I have a couple sections where only 4 people turned in a paper, and then a couple bigger sections. It's still a lot to read through. It is still a little bit more than doubling everything we've read so far. I think the way to get through it is just a little bit every day.
Yeah. Well, I know I can do them. I can do all 150. I have paper due on Thursday, but other than that, I have everything else pretty much done at this point for this week. I was just going to get started on next week. Should we have a couple people do all and a couple people randomly select some and see how our agreement is? so that we at least have two for all of them, since we have four for all the rest of this data?
Sorry, I'm thinking and my brain just totally went out on me. All right, so we have got my luggage data left, and then we've got everyone's tuition data and Max PC data.
I think
the idea is to get at least two ratings for each paper. That's what we want to end up with ultimately.
Having two for all, just having two for the ones that there was questions about.
That's a good question.
Because maybe I misunderstood, because you had in that sentence that we talked about, like, trying to do it like the AP grading style where you consult your buddy when there's a question.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. So one person grades or codes. I go back and forth between those words, but when I say grade, I mean code. One person codes their entire section, and they flag the ones they have questions about and ask someone else to take a look at them. If those two have a disagreement on the codes, they can talk it out amongst themselves, and then if they still can't come to a decision between the two of them, they pull a third person in.
If we're only going to have a single grader, we're all going to have to grade some subset for each question, because there's going to be little nuances and little things with every question that are going to come up.
I think we should maybe even start with, you know, a small sample of test data for each of the questions.
That's what they do for the AP grading, is that basically you grade, they have examples that everybody does until you kind of get the hang of what we're doing. So we can kind of do that model for the tuition and the Max PC to kind of get us initially going.
I think that's important at first, is since we're going to finally get to one where we expect more context issues.
Yeah.
Which we should. Mac PC was split, right? And tuition was strong.
Mm-hmm.
So we should probably do tuition next, I would say. So again, what were you gonna say?
I was going to say, do you want to divide HERLA's up? I mean, let's give it a shot. Divide HERLA's up into four pieces. Each of us pick, you know, and see how comfortable we are. Just, like, get it started before Thursday. You don't have to finish it before Thursday, but just kind of start it. You know, we can, I don't know. I mean, I understand everybody's busy, so. Please tell me if you think that's a ridiculous idea.
It would mean everyone would be grading just under 40 pages, which isn't that bad. That actually is then pretty consistent with just one more set of data. And we could see how it would go for this particular question if we're – because I think we've kind of already had – for better or for worse, I think we've kind of already had our intense training period, so we could probably go ahead and just go off and code these and then only call on help when we need it. And then we'll just get the luggage data done, and then we can have another hash it out coding for other papers.
Yeah, maybe Thursday's call we can start looking together at the tuition data. Does anybody have tuition data put together?
I do.
Yeah, okay. I have mine scanned in too somewhere.
So we can kind of have the luggage going on in the background, you know, as we have time, you know, we'll try to, then Thursday's call can be starting to look at the tuition and see how different it's going to be. I don't know, will that be more confusing to have, like, two different questions going on at the same time, or?
Well, even if nothing else, if we're going to start looking at our own responses to see where we might have questions.
Yeah.
Well, I can, one thing I will do, my data is currently in many different PDFs because I had the TA scan them in by section. So there are about 8 sections for each of the 3 questions. Some of those PDFs have about 30 papers in them. Some of them have about 4 in them. So I could at least take a look. I'll zip everything and email all of my data out so that everybody has all of my data, and then I will take a look at the luggage question and say, you know, Lee, you look at this section, Tara, you look at that section, Jackie, you look at this one, and I'll take these. So some people may get a bunch of small sections versus one large one. Does that seem reasonable? And we'll try coding it on our own. We'll try enacting the AP grading. Code on your own and then ask for help when you need it.
See how it goes.
Are we going to come back and talk about some of these ones that were still yellow and dark blue for in the spreadsheet?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Should we start at the top or stick with the bottom where we've been? So the next yellow one, working your way up from the bottom, would be Jillian's Myth in Tara's second section. And there, many of us agree that there are multiple pieces, but we didn't agree on whether they were correct or incorrect.
Let's go. That goes back to my whole convenience sample thing.
Right. And I think I marked it wrong for that reason, because we had decided on that last time. And it looks like a lot of us did flag the parkas, the bathing suits versus parkas, as something extra contextual. So I see most of us have a UC.
What am I looking for here? Sorry, I have to try to see those. All right, I'm yelling at my computer.
So I think the way I graded this one was she clearly has an understanding that there's a bias in this sample, and she identifies a common source of that bias. So I gave her correct for that. I did give her incorrect because she says this poorly taken sample, and then it looks like she says stratifying dash convenience, and so that I took as an incorrect then response. That's where my MM came from. I also counted that thing about bathing suits versus parkas, I counted that as kind of going a little over the top into the context. And so I called that a UC on the second question. So that was the explanation behind my rating.
I actually think this says sample strategy. I think it's just spelled wrong.
Oh, okay. I couldn't really read that.
I think it's S-T-R-A-J-I-T-Y, strategy.
I like how I would spell it, actually. I'm surprised I didn't recognize it. But I still, like, the convenience part, kind of based on some of the conversation we had last time, Tara, where you said you really taught convenience sampling as something different.
Yeah.
I marked that as wrong.
That's what I had marked wrong also.
So, Lee, you have this as a multiple correct. And, Jackie, you have this as just one correct idea.
Well, yeah, okay, so they were talking about warm places. They would not need or want excess clothing. And then, yes, she went off into the parkas. Warm clothing weighs less than cold climate clothing, which I was okay with, I guess. The poorly taken sample, I had actually counted, I used to look at my notes. I'm still on my, I had given an MCN question two for the parkas versus bathing suits and for the, quote, poorly taken sample. Because, again, she's proffering an opinion on the sample, which is a correct opinion, but it was still an opinion. So, again, that's why I am the odd man out on that again, probably take that out of there. Because I have MC on question two.
Yeah.
I think her reasoning was that it was a poorly taken sample because she thought it was a convenient sample. I think that's what the dash convenience meant.
Well, she did exit out, though.
No, I X'd it out when I graded her paper. That wasn't her. That was me. These I scanned in after I graded. I forgot to scan them before I graded them.
Okay, so everybody else gave it a UC for the parkas versus bathing suits comment?
Yeah, and I kind of took, the warm clothing weighs less than cold climate clothing as an extension of that.
That's what I did.
Okay.
That's why I didn't count that as a separate idea. But, I don't know, reading it again, I'm looking at the staying in warm places, therefore they would not need or want excess clothing, and they may bring bathing suits, not parkas. So I'm wondering if that is two separate ideas. I guess I just kind of lumped it all in together as she's got this excessive idea about warm clothing. But I don't know if it's worth parsing out as separate.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
It really is hard to decide when something lumps together and when something is worthy of separate counting.
Well, especially when they kind of go on for several sentences.
Yeah.
Be precise, people.
And I honestly didn't change mine because I thought we had already talked about that one. That we thought that since Tara taught the convenient sample that we would just let hers rule, so I just didn't change mine.
All right. So are you okay with an MM on that?
Yes.
Yeah, and you can change it. MM's fine with me.
So do we still want a U, or for the second question, do we still want it to be a UC, one extra contextual thing, or do we want it to be an MC, because she kind of goes on, multiple things, indicating, she kind of goes on, so there's multiple ideas here, or are we lumping it all under one heading?
Well, we're putting the convenience under, that's the mixed incorrect correct.
Yeah.
One. So really, I think there's just the one. We're really just talking about the one extra idea.
Okay.
So I would change that to UC. Unless somebody wants to argue me to me.
Okay. So I just changed. Jillian Smith now has for question one MMs across the board, and for question two UCs across the board. Any other comments on Jillian?
Negative.
Yep.
Okay. One of the other ones, Lindsay Novak. So this is one where some of us saw something statistical and others of us didn't.
Can someone tell me what the U is for the first part? Because I'm she's so wrong.
For her first
syringe.
I think I have it for that they were test less popular airports as well. So it's kind of that idea of giving us a better sampling method.
But in conjunction with the second part of that sentence?
The way I read that is that, I might have read too much into this, but the way I read that is that if you have an extremely biased sample, you may not have a lot of variation in the responses. And so a more representative sample might have more variation across the board. Like, in, you know, if you pick a really biased sample where you go to the Republican National Convention and ask who are you going to vote for, let's say after they've made their nomination, who are you going to vote for president, you're probably only going to get one response. But if you were to just take a random sample of U.S. households, you might get multiple responses. That's not the best example, but you kind of see where I'm going with that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she wasn't thinking that, but.
Yeah, in that sense, it's actually a very sophisticated answer. So, yeah, it's the question of did they just happen to luck in? Is this a really, really, and this might be where you can provide some insight here, is this a poorer student who just happened to luck into a phrasing that could be read as sophisticated, or is this a very strong student who happened to have some phrasing that, where maybe it is, I guess, again, is it sophisticated phrasing?
She consistently scored C's on pretty much everything she did.
So you don't think this is indication of some deep understanding of bias and variability and all of that?
No, I don't think she has any clue what she's talking about.
Okay.
But
I think that's why I changed it to a U, is I was looking at it as, because I'm noticing on my paper I have a P. So the first time I read this, I said it was wrong. That she had stuff that acknowledged sampling, but in an incorrect manner. And then the second time I went back and looked at it, and I think I looked at that variation part a little bit more favorably. I think it was more sophisticated than perhaps it was. That was the reason for my change, but if you're saying no, the student probably couldn't have really had that that sophisticated thought, then I might be inclined to go back to P.
I was just wondering, because I was looking at it over and over, and I just couldn't find anything that would give her.
Or the other thing.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the other thing we can do here is, she does, I mean, it seems to me that she identifies the major source of bias. You picked airports that are different than the other airports. She calls it popularity, but she picks a source of bias. She identifies some reason why these airports are different than the rest. So that could warrant a U, and then the rest of this stuff about variation could go into the second part with extra statistical stuff.
I agree. That's what I was asking, because if I change part one to a U, then I would give her a US for part two. But I just thought her answer was so off base that she just didn't really have a clue, which is why I gave her a P and a zero.
So Jackie and Lee, you both gave her U's and US's. What were you thinking about that?
I think when I read this, I was thinking she was talking about the Orlando and Miami, Florida. Like, there wasn't enough variation between those two spots. Like, I wasn't paying attention to the I think that's what I thought she meant, with the people coming off those planes. But then now that I'm reading it, she's talking about the less popular airports. She's got to be referring to New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. But the variation would be large airports versus small airports. Yeah. Yeah, I'm liking this answer less and less the more I read it. So I think what I thought she meant was that, you know, you pick flights from Orlando and Miami, Florida airports, and, yeah, you're not going to, tourist spots, you're not going to have a lot of variation in the kind of people that come off of it. I think that's what I thought she meant.
I know I flagged the talk about variation as not having to do with sampling and put it in the second part.
So you separated her second sentence. You took if they were test less popular airports being a single correct idea for part one.
Mm-hmm.
But then...
I mean, variance is a statistical idea, but it really has, you know, nothing to do with sampling.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, the mentioning the average when it's not horribly relevant.
And that is supposed to be variance, not range.
I'm wondering if she was going to say the range would be higher, and then or she was thinking variance and range in her head. I don't know what she was doing.
Yeah, I think I just didn't read this one closely enough as I was going through.
So reading it again, Lee, would you classify her talk of either variance or range, whatever it was, as something extra, or do you still think, or do you think it's wrapped into the first part?
Okay, say that again.
Sorry. Her part about variance, the part where we actually had the biggest disagreement on this was for the second question about the irrelevant information. Her stuff about what she says about variance, would you put that under that second, our second question about irrelevant statistical information?
Irrelevant. Yeah, at this point... I had. I mean, we've been doing. What have we been doing before when they mentioned just sort of statistical terms and just kind of throwing them out there without really understanding their meaning? Like,
I thought we were calling them P's.
Well, is that a P under one or is it under irrelevant statistical?
Yeah, because I mean they're trying to.
Who was the student that Jackie had that had an answer that was just, it was doing the same thing. It was just throwing out terms.
Matthew Langrich.
You need to know
something about you needed a standard deviation. That's kind of all he said.
What did we do with him?
We have US's across the board.
Yeah.
What?
Did we have US's across the board on that second question? And zeros on the first.
And there was somebody I read last night that had, Sean Baker, had something about standard deviation. Just kind of randomly thrown in there in the second part. Had no idea why. He said something about knowing the standard deviation would be helpful. Also something about female purses getting too large, but that has nothing to do with it.
Hence why I have mixed both.
So,
oh,
Lindsay,
yeah.
Do you think this one warrants a U.S. then, Lindsay Novick? No, I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yeah, because I really don't see... Okay, so the variance would be higher... Yeah, the more I read it, the more it sort of smacks of sort of throwing statistical terms at it without really... And there's a little bit there, but it's very, very tenuous.
So if we do... So it sounds like people are okay with U.S.'s across the board for the second question.
Yeah,
to be consistent, that's fine.
Now, that brings back up the first question. Does she have a relevant, correct idea? I think what both Jackie and I were looking at there was her part about testing less popular airports. So she does identify some source of bias with these airports, some way these airports are different from the others. So is that worthy of a U, or does that get a P? Should we vote on that?
Yes.
Jackie, what's your vote? Does it stay a U or does it change?
Honestly, I don't feel like it's fully correct anymore after discussing it a little bit more. So I don't think the first part's a U by itself. I mean, whether it goes to the P or MM, I'm unsure of.
Okay. Tara, what's your vote? You were at a P. Do you want to stay there or do you want to change it?
I think I have to stay at a P just because of the second part of the sentence. If there were less popular airports, I don't know. I think I'm going to stay at a P. I don't think she has any clue what she's talking about.
Okay. Lee, you're at a U. Do you want to stay there or do you want to change?
I feel like there's a little something there, but it's so little that I'm willing to go down to a P.
Okay. And like I said, my initial rating was a P when I first went through this, and then I thought maybe I was being too harsh, and so I upgraded to a U, but I'm willing to go back to a P. So it seems like we've got pretty much P's across the board. Jackie was kind of torn between P and MM, but it seems like there's that idea of it's more wrong than right.
Yeah. I mean, even the use of the word accurate, I don't know. The whole thing just bugs me.
All right, so what I've done on this one, Jackie, I have left yours at a slash. You are P slash MM, but I changed the rest of us to P, so I unhighlighted the whole thing. I kind of figured it's enough agreement that it doesn't even warrant a light blue anymore. So this case, that was my best compromise. The objection is duly noted, but it's kind of swinging towards P here. And then for the second question, like I said, we all have U.S. now because of her comments about Fahrenheit. All right, we are at 3:15. How are people doing in terms of time today? Do we want to continue tackling a few more case by case? Do we need to start to wrap this up?
So I have about 15 minutes before I need to go. And I guess I could be honest, I would really like to look at our biggest strong disagreement one, that big orange one.
Right. And I think this was a new orange one that, like, popped up. Like, I don't know. Or if it stayed the same, but some of us changed. So that was Patrick Hennessy in your second section, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm going to try to reread it without even looking at what my answer was here first.
Jackie, no.
Well, I suppose I'll start. All right. So I guess to say, I mean, I agree with myself. I was just actually debating between one or two statistical ideas. I guess I considered just the average. So it doesn't really have to do with the inflection. Everybody knows that it's the average, but not, you know, necessarily talking about how it's calculated, but just noting that it's just the average, not everybody, is what I'm thinking he's implying. And the data will still give you numbers. But for me, that's a statistical idea. So I'm not sure where the other people picking the context comes from.
I was torn between a UC and a zero. I wasn't sure if his first sentence was just answering the question that we asked, and his rationale was because 35 pounds is just the average. If that's the case, then I would have given him a zero. If it was considered a separate thought, then since he didn't elaborate on the average part, I counted it as a contextual.
Why is that a contextual idea, not a statistical idea?
Because we said that we would only count it as a statistical idea if they clearly depicted that they understood some could be above, some could be below. And since he didn't clearly state that, I thought we were counting it as contextual.
I hate to interrupt here. Jackie, do you have that PDF handy?
Yes, it's page 7.
No.
Need to send it?
You actually have the file. I appear to have deleted it somehow yesterday.
Sarah, I think in response to your comment that they had to clearly state that somewhere above, somewhere below, for it to be statistical, I think that was just one example. So I remember we were talking about this when we were debating some students who say, well, yeah, an average of 35 pounds is less than 40, less than the maximum, so we're fine. Or those who said, well, the average of 45 is greater than the maximum of 40, so clearly there's a problem.
But those I thought we were ignoring.
Right, those we were ignoring, but I think in the other case, like, I think if he's talking about, I've always looked at it as just some type of people who are looking at, like, the limitations of the average. So they're saying, well, the average is 35, but we don't really know where everyone else falls. Some are going to be above, some are going to be below, that sort of thing. So that might be more elaboration, but I'm not sure that's necessary to trigger the statistical remark. Go ahead.
Do you think his 35 pounds is just the average? Is he just using that to answer the question?
I wasn't sure. So what I did is I underlined that part, and I underlined the part that said the data will still give you numbers, but, and then he goes on to say they're not accurate. And I put a big question mark because I wasn't really sure. And so I put him as a zero here because I wasn't sure, but looking at it, I would probably put something extra statistical in. I don't know whether I would consider that one idea or two. Maybe two. I mean, he seems to be confused here. That language about it, yeah, it's just the average. I'm not really sure where he's going with that.
But, Jackie, you interpreted
like there's
it as
some extra baggage in this question. And I think the baggage is more statistical than conceptual, or contextual, sorry.
Well, he's Jackie's student, so I would bow to her in terms of what he was thinking for his first sentence.
Well, I was thinking of statistical, but I was kind of with her a little bit. I wasn't sure to count where he started talking about the data as a separate thing, and obviously I must have when I decided to classify him. It seems like he's getting at the idea of the difference between, in a sense, a summary statistic or average versus individual numbers.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yes. Page 7.
I also, another way you could interpret this is he points out that you could look at it as you can calculate an average with any set of numbers, but that average may not be meaningful. So, for instance, if you had a sample that was extremely biased, that average doesn't really give you much information. I mean, it describes the sample, but that's all it does. Or you could have, numbers. Yeah, that's another way to look at it. With that second part, the data will still give you numbers, but it would not be as accurate because of the random selection. That's the other part that kills me. He clearly misunderstands random selection here and is just throwing that term out there. But, like, the data will still give you numbers, but they might not be accurate. Is that saying that if you have a biased sample, those numbers, is that saying that those numbers are not then generalizable? In which case, then, it's actually relevant to the first part, our first question. It's actually relevant to selection. This one was, I think, definitely a very tough one because he doesn't give you a lot to work with.
But he doesn't indicate that it's a poor sample. He says there's a random selection of 500 passengers.
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell, though, if he did, because it's kind of like what Hurley said, because it's not going to be as accurate because of the selection they did.
Because
I mean, granted, he still calls it random, but he's still saying, just because you didn't, I mean, it could be if he was a better student, just their random selection wasn't random. I mean, we still might still call something a random selection, even if it's not random. I don't think he was that good of a student to actually be thinking that.
So you're not seeing deep thoughts about bias or generalizability here?
I mean, it's one of those that it's hinting at it, but I don't know if there's enough there to assume that's what he meant. Because what he means by accurate, I think, is the problem. I do think he's saying it because he's basically saying it's not accurate because of the selection, if you kind of read between the lines.
Lee, you had actually put this as for question two, you had put this as multiple contextual things. What were you identifying there as the extra contextual pieces?
I have no idea. I'm reading this.
You're reading it.
And the average and the random selection of 500 pads. Yeah, I'm going to be honest, I have no idea. I mean, basically, I had no idea what he was trying to say.
Here's my take on this, and it's very vague and kind of very global in a sense. I think his answer reflects a general state of confusion. Since Jackie said he wasn't a really strong student, so we're not looking at actually very high levels of sophistication. Which I find it interesting that in our discipline, it seems like really high levels of sophistication and really high levels of confusion seem to run very parallel to each other. I wonder if other disciplines are like that, where we can't separate the absolute idiots from the really brilliant ones. But since he's not reading into it as, since Jackie said he's not a stronger student, I would not interpret his phrase, the data will give you numbers, but they wouldn't be accurate, as a comment on bias and generalizability. So I'm going to interpret it as confusion, as indication of confusion. There's also indication of confusion where he says things are not accurate because of random selection when we have a clearly biased sample. So I'm picking up just a general state of confusion for this student. I feel like there is some extra baggage in terms of his phrasing, just the average, the data give you numbers, but they're not accurate. And since that extra baggage tends to be more statistical in his language, I would give him, for the second question, probably an MS on question two. And for question one, there's some idea that selection is important in here, but within all that confusion, there's some idea that selection is important in here, but he gets that wrong, so I would give him a P for one. So my rating would be a P and an MS.
So the statistical idea is that you're getting data, it'll give you numbers.
Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, the fact that he uses the word average. He's not very clear in what he communicates by that, but that phrase, I remember, just kind of bugged me. Like, you know, it's that one thing about, there's something that sticks out about this, kind of like that whole preppy woman from France phrase, you know? There's something that just sticks out about this. And since it's sticking out about the average, I would classify it as statistical rather than...
Yeah, I can see that. I think I just gave up on this one. I remember correctly. Which I know I'm not supposed to do, but I think I did.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to resolve to code in smaller chunks so that we don't get burnt out on these. 5 papers a day and no more. Or 10 papers a day and no more. Like 10 papers every single day.
So are we happy with a P and F? Is that what we're going to... Okay.
That's the motion on the floor, people. And I told you my reasoning, so you can feel free to argue with whatever you like.
Well, you agree with what I already had, so of course I have no argument.
Right. Okay, so Jackie's good. That leaves it up to Tara and Lee.
I had a P for the first, and I'm fine with an MS for a second.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually the problem. Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with both of those.
Awesome. So we took our case of biggest disagreement. Made an agreement across the board. Well, that's good. All right. That took us 15 minutes.
All right.
So it's now 3:30. Jackie, do you have a minute to talk about what we're going to do with these cases? Or
yeah,
do you
I just need to
get off
here
right
in the next couple of minutes.
Okay. I think at some point we're going to hit diminishing returns, continuing to hash out these particular cases. So I think this is the time when we need to come up with a Trump rule to just say, you know what, that the teacher gets it, the majority gets it, something along those lines. Do you guys agree with that, or do you think it's important to really come to agreement on especially the dark blues and the yellows in this set of data?
I think we should code the rest of this data, get started on the next data, and once we have everything done, we can come back and look at some of the stuff if we still feel any.
Okay, that sounds good. So we'll leave this data set as it is. I've kind of indicated to you guys the changes I've made as we've gone through. I can, again, send out an updated one at the end of the call if you like. I will also send out, so my understanding of the luggage data then is that we're basically going to divide that into 4 sets, and each of us will take a set and try and get it done as soon as we are able. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Should we go back and put in this extra column for each of our own students, the valid yes, no, the question? Because we're going to need to know the question when we get to the next part where we classify them in the table.
And I actually wonder if we should even break that up into 2 parts. Like 2 variables, sampling method, good, biased, non-biased, I guess we should call them. We can, for our internal database, we can probably call them good, bad, but we might want to change them to random or biased. And then conclusion, problem or no problem. Because I think we will actually need it separate like that to create the expectations table.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right, so.
I don't think we need valid or not valid anymore.
I kind of agree. I think that's been.
I think we're now wrapping that up in our actual questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. So I will delete the column valid, and then I will insert a new column, and I will make that question, or I'll make that sampling and conclusion. And then people, when I send out this updated spreadsheet at the end of the day, people can add that for their own section.
Do you have the data for what their opinion answer was? Can we add the column for that here too? Because that's the other thing we needed when we did the tables.
Mm-hmm. I will add that. And then someone will just need...
Does somebody have all that compiled?
I have it. That's why I was asking her if she still, if she has the spreadsheet she sent me.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a column for opinion, a column for sample, and a column for conclusion. And people can just add their own data in. All right, I will send this out. Shortly. And next call. So, Lee, could you get me the recording for this call when we're done today?
Yeah.
And our next call is Thursday to talk about that expectation cell.
All right. Has anybody set that up yet?
No. I think I should, though, huh? If I'm recording this call, I should be organizing Thursday's call.
Yep.
Okay. Does that mean I'm synthesizing today?
I guess so.
All right. I will synthesize quickly.
And then do we need to do work before Thursday's call, or are we just going to start talking about things on the phone?
Go ahead.
I was saying, weren't we going to look at least at our own data for the tuition problem to see if there was anything that was standing out?
I think it would be nice to kind of have, you know, possible examples of roadblocks we might hit.
For the tuition data?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about for the expectations table, too? Do we need to put any pre-thought into that? Or...
We should probably look through all the categories and make sure we agree with everything that's there. And see if there's anything we want to add so that we can get through that faster and maybe have time to talk about the tuition problem.
Yeah. Okay, so everyone will take one pass at the table and decide if something needs to be changed or added.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about that.
Because I know when I was doing the stuff for the poster, I didn't even really think about it. I just blindly followed your codes. But I know, Jackie, you had come up with some that you thought should have been in there, right?
Well, I was just more of a question because, I mean, and I was sort of like you when we first brought that together. I didn't really focus as much on which codes fell where as just the idea of what the hypotheses were. Yeah, so I definitely think that's worth looking at of where we think certain codes should fall.
So one, take a look at the tuition questions. for each of us, kind of look and see if there's things that are going to pop up and be problems with our coding scheme. And two, take a look at the expectation table, see where codes might fit, where it might not fit, etc. Okay, more or less. Summarize that correctly?
Mm-hmm. And then Thursday at 2?
Yeah. And then in the background, Carla's going to send out her luggage data split up for us and get started on that as much as you can.
Yeah.
But that's not due for Thursday. It's just, you know, start working on it.
Yeah, I will try and send that out shortly.
And Carla will organize the call.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
You'll get me the recording.
And I will get you the recording. I will bug the man in charge because he's online.
I think that's everything. All right, I think we're good to go then.
All right. I will.
I'll talk to you all in 2 days.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Have a good afternoon, everyone.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.